Today I want to talk about how our new idol worship is people, and I want to talk about it in a few different ways. It may sound like chaos at first, but if you feel like it, pull up a chair and let's talk about it. The first thing that I thought about was, and funny enough, I was actually making a stories post on my TikTok, and once the rant got to be longer than 2 minutes, I was like, girl, pack it up and just do a podcast episode, because what are you doing at this point? But I have a concern and something that I would like to address. I want to start by saying that I think that there's a difference, and I think that we should all recognize that there's a difference between content that is reactionary in a way to highlight, to righteously judge, to call out behaviors that we should change. And I think that there's a difference between that and content that is reactionary in a way to make fun of, to belittle, to tear people down, and to basically build a platform off of hurting and bullying other people. I think that those are two different things. Again, this is all going to sound very unrelated, but it is. To add to that, I would say something that I was thinking about when I thought about this was the way that we have these conversations about parasocial relationships, and how this is such a new concept, because really, this really is something that's new, that has only started to happen as we started to see reality TV become a thing. And even then, it wasn't as bad as it is now. Parasocial relationships have really become a thing in the way that we do social media now, because original social media, even if you're like old enough to remember, I never had a Black Planet, but my babysitter had one and I know what it was, right? So like Black Planet accounts, MySpace, where you really were like engaging with people that you knew. And then now we've kind of shifted from social media being a place to connect us with people that we already know in an online setting, and to be able to extend those relationships. So like, for instance, if you changed schools, if you were in college, you would be able to keep in touch with all of these people. But now, where everybody kind of has this opportunity to be an influencer, a creator, you're also connecting with people that you literally do not know. And because you show up in this space as yourself, people begin to feel like they know you and they get very comfortable. So I have a few examples of what I mean to bring all of this together. But before I even get into the examples, I want to highlight two videos that I saw this week from some content creators, one of whom I follow, one of whom I had actually never seen before, and it was my first time seeing his content, and it was so interesting what he said in that video. So the first video was by Brandy, and Brandy does hair content. She's on TikTok. I'm not sure if Brandy is on any other platforms actually, but she does do TikTok videos. And one of the things that she said in this video, her name is The Favorite Brandy. I keep saying Brandy because her name is Brandy, but on there, her name is The Favorite Brandy. You'll know her because she's a really pretty girl. She has like blonde natural hair, and she shows you how to take care of your natural hair. But something that she talked about in her video was this idea that people will look to content creators for very specialized things. So her, for example, let's say she did, and she didn't give this example, but this is just an example that I think she would probably agree with. Her being a hair content creator, let's say that she has whatever her hair type is, because girl, as long as I've been natural, I don't know, 4C, 4A, 3B, girl, I don't care. I got natural hair and I take care of it as best I can. I don't know. But her and her hair and her curl pattern, let's say she makes a video where she does flexi rods or like perm rod set or twist out something, and someone then takes her video where she did something generic or general that would serve herself and a few people in her audience, but then someone comes and asks specifically, will this work for this particular type of hair, and would it be okay if I used this, or what if I have alopecia? And they just start throwing all of these very specific examples at her in a way that what she was describing is like, we're, you know, a content creator or an influencer, they're a person, like they're not a robot. And she was saying how like the way that we engage with people is slowly turning into this weird thing, and it really is. I have so many thoughts about this, y'all, and I'm going to do my best to make this a cohesive conversation, because I kind of, this is like one of those things, all of my conversations are like this. I kind of wish that there was somebody here to banter back and forth with me. Like, I really should put together some type of platform where we can all just go and talk about these things, because sometimes I'm talking in these videos and I really wish that the back and forth could happen in real time and not just in the comments, right? So anyway, so she was saying how our engagements and our interactions are getting very strange as a result of the way that we engage with people online. So for instance, you feel like you can ask these very specific questions. And then it also made me think about parasocial relationships, as I mentioned earlier, and how even the way that we speak can be weird. Like, that was a video, and I really wish I could remember the creator's name on this one, but I remember I liked it. I reposted it, so if I look back, I can probably find it. But she was saying how people get so comfortable saying things like, for instance, the HO, is you cool? I don't even know where that came from, but I know that it's a popular way to like speak to people. And she said it and she kind of like took what I was thinking and put it into words, because here I am thinking maybe I'm just being too sensitive. But I also feel like people who have never met you before, because they've been following you or engaging with your community, they feel more connected to you than they actually are. And so they lose formalities in a way that is not normal, right? So like, if you were to speak to your friend in that way, and if you know me, you know that I don't talk to people like that. Like, I don't use profanity. I'm not going to say I never do. When I do, I immediately repent, because that's not something that is a part of my lifestyle. I'm trying to think of the last time I did. I don't know. But I don't want to sit here and say I never, because there have been times where it's like, girl, you know, and I've had to like backtrack on it. But that's not something that's in my regular speech. Like, I don't use the B word to refer to my friends. I just don't talk to people like that. And so in the same way, I think it's also strange when people say things in my comments like that. And I'm one of those people, like, I try not to be offended by things. I try not to be like overly concerned with the way that something was said. And I try to focus on what was actually said. But when she said that, it really did make me think, yeah, that does happen, where people have this weird attachment to getting overly comfortable with you as a creator who they've never met, and expecting you to then still maintain a level of respect, which I always will. I'm not going to stoop to anybody's level. I'm not going to change what I do just because you're on something. But I think that it's very strange. Even the way that I can be so patient and resilient and reserved sometimes, and sometimes people will be like seemingly jumping down my throat in my comments, and I'm just like, okay, I don't know where that came from. I don't know why this person is so triggered or upset, but I'm just going to keep my composure. And even that, sometimes I'm like, so the responsibility is on the creator to not lose their cool, but you can be in my comments talking to me crazy. Okay. Right. And so the other concept or the other video that I saw was actually by Wisdom K. And as I mentioned, I didn't even know who that was before. And I still don't really understand the full personhood creatorship of who he is. But the message that he delivered in this video, it was so good. So he said that he basically he can't go anywhere without seeing people and it being a scene. Like, he has lost his ability to live a normal life. And I know that that can sound very, like, boy, whatever. But I think that it sounds very boy, whatever, to a very insensitive person. And this goes back to my original commentary about reactions and how you can be a person who builds your entire platform off of reacting to things. Like, you know, those celebrity tea pages or whatever. Or even not even celebrity tea pages. And I don't even want to call these people by name, because it's not celebrity tea pages, but there are like a group of creators online, not necessarily affiliated with each other, but their entire platform is built on reacting to things and making fun of people. And I just feel like, okay, yeah, it's comedy. Yeah, it's funny. Ha ha ha. But at the same time, is it funny? Because if anybody who finds it funny were the person in the shoes of that person being made fun of, I'm sure they wouldn't find it funny. And I can speak firsthand on this. I think I told y'all about this before. And if you've been in my community long enough, you know, around the time that my account really started growing and taking off, I was at maybe like 10 or 11,000 followers. And somebody took one of my videos and stitched it. And I'm going to tell you something. The video was doing okay. People understood what I was saying. But the moment this man stitched my video was the moment that I started getting nasty, sarcastic, belittling, just disgusting comments from people. And it was because, it was because of the tone of the video that he created. And his tone of his video being the platform that he had then caused other people to start stitching my video. So a video that was well understood initially on its own got projected into the limelight, and then now people are coming to that video based on what they saw on these other pages and attacking me. And it's all ha ha ha, it's funny, it's just social media, don't take yourself so seriously, until another person is in that situation. And I feel like the reason that I bring that up is because this Wisdom K situation, I think it's easy for people to say, oh, that comes with a job, oh, that's just part of being a celebrity, oh, that's part of being famous. Oh, if you want to be a content creator, you have to be okay with that. And I do tell people that too. I'm like, look, just make sure you're very comfortable with yourself before you start creating content. Make sure you have thick skin. If you can't stand to have tomatoes thrown at you, don't do it, right? And I do tell people that, but it's actually kind of sad that I have to tell people that. Because the truth of the matter is, as angry as you can be at this man, Wisdom K, for saying like he wants to have normalcy and he wants to be able to go places without not necessarily not being noticed, but like he wants to be able to go places and have normal interactions without stopping every 5 seconds to be like a poster child for people, or to be like a thing to take pictures of, or to be like a person to be dapped up and have interactions with. And I think as a human, he's entitled to that. We have like such a weird thing that is happening in our society right now where we are so disconnected from reality. We idolize everyone. We have no real connection to God, and we don't even see the error in our ways. We don't even see the disgusting things that we do. We don't even see the idolatry that we practice. And it's really got us messed up. And I think like I'm seeing Wally in my head, and how like all these people are always connected, and like the way that we engage with people, the way that we have conversations, the way that we make connection, it's so weird. Y'all, so anyway, going back to what Wisdom K was saying, I feel as though people who were like, oh, boo hoo, or like making reaction videos, or like being mean, or trying to belittle what he was saying, I don't think that you're realizing that this is a human. He's a human. He is a human. And no matter what it is, like, we have to learn to separate craftsmanship and admiration for a person from their being, because we are not entitled to a person's attention, time, autographs, stopping and saying hi just because they're a celebrity, or just because they are a content creator or an influencer, whatever, fill in the blank, just because they are whatever you want to talk about in that particular situation. And I think this is an important conversation to have at this time in our life, because things are changing so quickly. So my daughter went back to school this year. If you did not know, I was a homeschool parent. I still am a homeschool parent, but I was homeschooling, and she went back to school this year. And some of the significant things that happened at orientation, really good school, by the way, like the way that the school system is set up down here where I live is very weird. And I was very selective about where I wanted her to go to school. And I knew that if she did not get into the schools that I had hand selected, she would be homeschooled another year. So when I'm saying that to say, like, nothing about this interaction at the school rubbed me the wrong way. It just gave me perspective. So one of the concepts that they constantly hit on in orientation was the importance of, like, make sure you guys are talking to your kids at home about what is appropriate and what is not. And so one of the counselors was saying the reason we keep saying this is because these children have phones, they have devices. My child is not, neither of my children have phones. Well, neither, the girls, my younger children who are old enough to have phones do not have phones. And that is simply because, for our own reasons, but mainly they don't need them. You will never convince me that a 9 and a 10-year-old need a cell phone, a smartphone at that. They don't need it. Especially now, like, a lot, another thing that came up was they were saying how that school that they're going to, they may as well not even have phones. They may as well not even have them, because before school, after school, they got to drop the phones off anyway. And they give the kids their phones back after dismissal. But if they're in carpool, they're not even allowed to turn the phone on. And, you know, like, I'm not going to get into the isms of why they do that, but I'm just saying this is a thing that had to come up in orientation. So I know that this is a cultural thing. So they were saying to us as parents, make sure that you're having conversations with your children about what's appropriate to say and what's not appropriate to say. Make sure that you're having conversations with them, because they said this, and this is so sad to me. They say, over the summer, your children who have phones were probably more engaged on their phones than they were actually talking to you. And there was probably not a lot of engagement in real life if they spent a lot of time on their phones. And this is so scary, because what happens when we see it? What happens when you're always engaging with people through a device? There's no real connection, one. There's no, like, I think Mike Tyson is the person that says something along the lines of social media made people very comfortable saying things over media that would get you punched in the face in person. And when we're only having connections with people online or through media, through text messaging, and we're not in person having real interactions, we lose empathy. We lose the ability to truly connect. And we just say things, and we don't think about how those things feel to other people, right? And one of the things I noticed that people will always say is like, oh, your daughters are so sweet, like they're so intuitive. They're not overly mature. They're not like the wisest kids in the bunch. But I think that I'm raising sensitive, aware children, especially when you think about like the contrast between myself and my husband. So like, he's the right amount of roughness, but then I'm also very sensitive. But it's because they sit down and eat at a dinner table, right? Like, they have conversations with each other. They have to interact with each other, because you're not on a phone. You're not on a device every day. Like, sure, they can record their little YouTube videos and whatnot, but give me my phone back, right? Like, you're not about to be on this phone all day. Yes, they watch TV just like all the other kids, but they also have real interactions with people, and they have not been accustomed to being filtered through a screen. And so the way that this ties to what I want to talk about, or what I'm continuing to talk about, is just that the same way that they had to say this to parents, like, hey, make sure that you are monitoring this, make sure that your children are aware that you can't say something like, I'm going to kill you, and it's a joke, because that's actually a threat. Right? Like, you can't be insensitive. The same way that I'm thinking about like the HO, is you cool? Or like, I know that it's probably a term of endearment, but I'm just like, you don't know me. Stop saying that to me. Right? And again, I don't want to be a person who's hypersensitive, but I was glad that another creator actually said it, because it had been on my mind. And I was just like, there are certain things that you just cannot say to a person that you do not know, no matter how well you feel connected to them, with this idea of parasocial relationships. I can't remember if I touched on this in this podcast episode because I've been talking so long, but a parasocial relationship is basically this idea that you form a connection to a creator, to an influencer, to a celebrity, based on your desire to be close to them, based on your interest in them as a person. And so you feel like you're getting to know them through the connection of your content, through the connection of their conversations, the things that they put out. But it's also very one-sided, because if you follow this person and you're a person who never posts any videos, you're getting to know them, or at least getting to know the version of themselves that they're putting out online. And so you feel like you're very connected to them. You feel like you know them, but they know nothing about you. And so you begin to feel entitled to things that aren't necessarily your right to have: their time, their energy, their personal business. And this is why on the content creator side, I'm very firm on boundaries. Like, I remember, it comes up every now and then, like, oh, when are you going to do this in your content? Or when are you going to show us this? Or can you show? No, I'm going to show you what I'm going to show you. And that doesn't make me mean, but I know that for some people, it feels like, oh, well, she doesn't want to let us into No, you're not entitled to that. And I start to think about why so many content creators will leave certain aspects of their lives offline. And it's because we are becoming deranged as a society. Like, I know another creator. Normally, I would say the name of the creator, but in this particular situation, I don't want the poor girl to get nothing else coming down on her. Like, I don't want no more scrutiny on her because I feel bad. But there's a creator who, how do I say this without, like, completely? So anyway, there's a creator who does a particular type of content. And so she's evolved in her content creation. She's been facing a lot of, like, backlash from newer people in her audience, older people in her audience, whatever. People are going to talk. But then recently, she also started dating someone. And unprovoked, people have just made her dating life, like, a whole topic. Like, they've been trying to find the guy. When they do find the guy, they're, like, in his comments. It's just very weird, very, very weird behavior for people who do not know you, right? So it's also, like, a lack of etiquette and manners and, like, home training online. But, again, it comes as a result of us feeling like we're so connected to these people. And it goes back to, like I said, this whole reality TV culture and the wave of that. Because before it was just celebrities. And then when we got reality TV and, like, the Kardashians, we felt like, oh, there's a way to get even closer and be more in the know and to know all these things about celebrity lives. And then that kind of got us from, like I said, the regular social media to where we are now, where there's, like, this fandom and worshiping of people. And so you crave this connection with people. And in a way, it's very weird. And we have to be aware of it so that we can stop, if that makes sense. But I think it's not even just that we have to stop. It's like I said, we have to have the awareness. We also have to realize that it's idolatry. We have to realize the error in it. Because why do you want to know everything about this person? Why do you feel like when you see this person, you're so excited? Like, I gotta take a picture. I gotta get their autograph. Why do you feel so entitled to this person? And I know that there are regular people out there that are like, oh, you know, like, I don't do that. Like, I don't chase people down for an autograph. So I'm not necessarily saying that this is everybody, because you might be listening to it and you're like, girl, what are you talking about? I don't be doing that. But I just want to point out just some of the things that I feel like are very unhealthy in the social media space. And the big issue that I find, like I said, it's a lot of idolatry, and we don't want to call it that. So to me, for instance, I say to people too, like, if you ever catch me, like, trying to take too much credit for what's going on in my life, slap me. Because to God be the glory. What are you talking about? I'm a vessel, right? Like, I am nothing without God. And knowing that helps me to also realize that other people are the same way. And so when I see other people doing well and shining, it's not like, oh, they're so great, let me worship them, they're just so good at this. I can compliment you and I can appreciate the gift that God has given you. I can love the way that you move in that gift. But me not idolizing you and realizing that is a gift that God has given you is what keeps me from idolizing you. It's what allows me to say, oh, this person is really funny, I really enjoy this content, this is so much fun to watch, I'm so intrigued by this, I love your creative thought process. But it keeps me from being a complete fangirl if I'm like, but to God be the glory. And I think that that's the part that we're sometimes missing. So, like, if you're somewhere and you see, I don't know, Chris Brown, are you going to, like, melt into a puddle on the floor and just, like, freak out? And I'm pretty sure he likes that sort of thing. I've come to the conclusion that based on the type of based on the type of things that he does with his fans, his meet and greets, I think he likes when people are, like, intrigued by him. And I think that might have been a bad example. But my point is, when you see someone famous, quote unquote, or, like, when you get the attention or the notice, or you're noticed by somebody that has a little bit of notoriety, are you able to keep your composure, or are you jumping out of your skin with excitement? And if you are jumping out of your skin with excitement, need I remind you that this is a person? And again, I'm not saying that it doesn't feel good to be validated, because that's a human thing. It's a human thing. But we have to be very careful, because all glory is supposed to go to God. And when we start to be seeking as a creator, I'm speaking, And when we start to seek validation and accolades and we want to be puffed up and we want everybody to know our name, and we want to be recognized, that is of the devil. That is not of God. And when you as a consumer are on the other side of that and you're so busy giving these accolades and praising these people who have fleshly bodies and died just like you and put their pants on one leg at a time, you are idolizing those people, and that is actually a problem. And so I think that this is a conversation that's definitely worth having, worth exploring different aspects of it, worth trying to figure out, like, what do we do about it? Because it's so different. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that fandom wasn't always a thing either. So that's not what I'm saying, because I can remember being, like, a kid, and I really like B2K. Like, I love me some Lil Fizz, right? But getting to the point of adulthood and realizing, like, there's more and more celebrities and famous people and big names as we expand in this digital age. And so what used to be like, okay, for instance, I'm pretty sure every girl in my age group at the time that I was young knew B2K, right? Now, though, there's like famous people from a craft, music, TV, entertainment, mainstream things, but there's also like internet famous people who then use their fame and notoriety and grow in other ways. And so then they also become like celebrities in the eyes of a regular consumer, in the eyes of social media users. And so what I'm basically saying is we start to get to a point where we put these people on such pedestals. We put these people in such places that they become our source. And so like what Brandy was saying, you feel like you can come to this person and ask them all these highly personalized questions. I actually have this experience quite often when I'm talking about something with marriage, or like I'm responding to one of the letters, or I'm talking about, you know, like you should do this in your relationship. You know, as a woman of God, you want to move like this when you're married. And regularly, I get comments or questions like, well, but what if he's been cheating for 10 years and this, and this? And I'm not saying that I have no desire to help those people, but I'm saying when Brandy said that, it really made me think she's absolutely right, because it happens all the time. Even when I made the video about like the portion of the movie 13, the musical that I was watching, the grandmother said to the grandson's friend, if you cut everyone off for everything that they do to you, you're going to end up spending your life alone. We don't even have the ability, again, this goes back to like communication and actually like the true art of conversation. I have it in real life, but online it would be amazing to have that. But the true art of conversation, of like listening to people and hearing them out, because I truly think that in my heart of hearts, if people listen to what I said in that video in full context, I don't think a lot of people, I'm not going to say everybody would have agreed with me, but I don't think I would have gotten a lot of the comments that I got, because a lot of the comments that I got were completely missing the point and getting tied up in their own specific things that weren't really addressed. And so even the concept of like, oh, if it don't apply, let it fly. Or even the concept of, oh, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I don't have the full story. Let me just sit this one out. Like, it's just so weird. And going back to what I said about how sometimes people will just say things to you, it's almost like they think that you're a robot. And they don't, I don't want to say they think that, but it's like maybe a subconscious perception is that you're a robot because you're a performer, or like you're a creator, or you're like here for their personal entertainment. Just a few days ago, and this is something that happens regularly too, someone commented on a video that I posted, and I commented back, and they like got this attitude with me, like almost in a way like I wasn't supposed to say anything to them, or like I'm not allowed to comment. It was very weird. And I had to say to them, you know, like as a rule of thumb on social media, if you don't want somebody to engage with you, you probably just shouldn't comment. And I only said it that way because the person responded to me, and then I responded to them, clarified and elaborated. And then they were like, excuse me, like, just got very snappy, and I just didn't understand why the conversation even went that way. But I think that this is just a problem that I hope has a solution, but I'm also like thinking about the trends and the way that things are going, and I'm like, this is all by design, and there probably is not a solution. But the very least that we can do is be aware and to try to do better. So my encouragement to you is, one, think about the people who you follow, engage with, love, whatever, fill in the blank with the appropriate word, and ask yourself, are you idolizing these people? And you will know that you're idolizing them when you look up to them just a little bit too much. You're always anticipating their posts. You're always seeking out their opinion. They're just, you know, that person for you, and you just, you're so intrigued and so excited by them. Be very careful of that. Even if that person is me, baby, don't make me your idol. Don't get me in trouble with y'all, okay? Please. But I think that it starts there. I think that it also is a point, it's a point where we have to take personal responsibility for our own actions, because part of it is also this ongoing need for validation and for seeking the answers from other people. I have another example. I think I might have used this in a podcast topic before, but I was talking about fasting one time, and y'all, like, I have no issue educating people, sharing information that I know, but I'm always sharing information as a person. Like, nothing that I talk about am I necessarily an expert. Even when it comes to like marriage and relationships, I'm not an expert. I'm speaking on my experience, things that I've learned, godly wisdom, research that I've done. Like I say, even my own lived experiences, the things that I've seen other people experience. And so when I do that, I'm speaking not as a person who has all the answers, and I'm speaking as a person who has insight and maybe a little bit of authority, right? And so when I do that, the sensible thing that I'm expecting in return is that people are able to take that information, chew on it, and take what they need. But what ends up happening is like people take the information, they chew, and then they're like, give me more, right? And I think it's such an irresponsible way to go about life, to just always be like, give me the answers, give me everything that I need, to everybody that you see everywhere online. And it's also very dangerous because, again, you may feel very connected to people, but you don't know them. So you don't really know the depth and inner working of these people. You just know what it is that we're online saying and doing, or they're online saying and doing. And so it just goes back to that conversation about personal responsibility. But this is lingering a lot longer than I wanted it to. Oh my goodness, 32 minutes is crazy. But yeah, I encourage us to all just reflect on that. A few questions to ask yourself. Are you a person who is reacting to things in a way to highlight and to righteously judge? Or are you reacting to things in a way to bring people down? Are you a person who engages with people in a healthy way online? Or do you just talk to people any kind of way because there's a screen there and they can't jump through the screen and punch you in the face? Are you idolizing people that you follow online, celebrities as well? Or do you have a healthy admiration for these people and their craft, and you can separate the two? Because I think that when we can start to have conversations around those questions, I think we can start to do better. But I also think that it takes some intentionality, and it also takes this understanding that as if you're a parent, you have a huge responsibility right now to guide your child on the proper use of technology and to not let that technology use them inappropriately. I know it's hard because everybody's so glued to their devices, but if you have the ability, take it back. That's all I want to say. You're a parent, so you can do with that whatever you want. But yeah, this is something that I just wanted to yap about. There's no real cohesiveness to this particular episode, but it felt good to do it. Maybe we can talk about this on live, because like I said, I would love to engage in like a healthy back and forth, maybe like an exchange of different ideas, or like, well, I think this, or I think differently about this. So this might be something that comes up again on live or like in a post, but I did feel the need to express my thoughts on that. So I will see you guys in the next episode.